Good. Well, just before Dave comes and speaks to us, obviously taking the opportunity to be part of this thing, Thy Kingdom Come, and I know many of you have been praying and involved in that, and some of you may be catching up. There's information on in Ashwood News and also on emails and things on how you can connect with that and how we're wanting to be a part of something bigger. It's the exciting thing that we get to be involved in from time to time, to recognize that we are only a small part of God's church, and we love that. And there is plenty of, we represent God's church here in our locality, so there are opportunities for us to connect with other churches and other Christians, which is great for us to pray. And some of us have been doing that this week, and there's other opportunities in the coming week as well. But also we recognize that actually we're praying nationally and internationally, and that we are part of something that is bigger. So thought it would just be good just for 4 or 5 minutes just to share with you part of the vision actually behind Thy Kingdom Come. I don't know if you've ever thought what it looks like, what happens when we pray Thy Kingdom Come. And just going to watch a very short clip with the Archbishop Justin Welby having a conversation with Pete Gregg about what it looks like to pray, what happens when we pray Thy Kingdom Come.
I do believe that when we pray for the kingdom of Jesus to come, that his rule and reign does come. And we often see the good news of that. We see the blessings, the answers to prayer, the encouragements. But sometimes, you're right, it can be really tricky, can't it? We can wrestle with the fact that we want God to airlift us out of our problems, and he more often parachutes in and joins us in the midst of them. And so the world's full of problems, and we try to work out what does the rule and reign of Jesus look like when he's a servant king, when he has all the authority in the world but doesn't seem to use his power in the way that our world systems use power. So I believe in miracles. I believe that things change when we pray for the kingdom to come, but I suppose the greatest miracle is the presence of Jesus with us in the midst of whatever we're going through.
But what do you say to people when, you know, they get to the sort of psalmist in Psalm 88 of just the bleakest, most hopeless depression? So you've got people who are struggling to pray this prayer, and they're thinking, the whole world's praying this prayer and they're believing it and they've all got these great expectations. What's the Spirit saying to them?
I think I see prayer as about the asking and not just the answering. And when we went through our hardest times, I found that I couldn't help but pray. I mean, I went through a really embarrassing time in my life when I tried to be an atheist for a while and found out I was terrible at atheism because I kept talking to God about the fact that he didn't exist and wondering who I was talking to. And so I think the human, and all the latest sort of research shows people do pray. People, especially in crises. And so I think for people to gather at a time where our world has got significant problems, politically, economically, socially, culturally, and so on, and cry out to God is an incredibly, it's not just a meaningful thing to do, it's a very natural thing for people to do in the midst of any kind of crisis. And I think people appreciate the honesty of someone like you, who's very honest about the struggles and the pain and how it's not easy, and yet maintains faith within that.
So when we're praying, Thy Kingdom Come, and we got people in mind, what are the key things you would say to people as they pray that prayer? You know, you've got a bunch of folk, perhaps somewhere overseas in an area where they're being persecuted, and they're just gritting their teeth and thinking, I don't know, but we're going to pray this, we're going to join in this week. Or you've got people, and you'll have been to places like this, some, you know, some parts of England where it's just really hard going, the church is small, the building is large, and you just feel we must be on the losing side here. What do you say to them, either of those groups?
Well, the first thing is, how wonderful to come together as part of something bigger. One of the great things about Thy Kingdom Come is we actually see, we feel that we are part of a 2 billion strong revolutionary army. Wherever you go in the world, we are conspiring together in the name of Jesus against injustice, against oppression, and seeking to bind up the broken hearts. And so we get a little snapshot of that with Thy Kingdom Come, all these people coming together. And especially, I mean, I actually find the most moving stories from Thy Kingdom Come in previous years have been that the tiny little rural churches that maybe managed to do 24-1, and they're in shock that they prayed all night and all day. It's the most wonderful encouragement. And they know that they're part of this great worldwide momentum. And I think the second thing is that when we pray for the kingdom to come, we have to remember that that is all about Jesus. And so it's about his death and it's about his resurrection. And so, of course, there's the power of answered prayer, the things we long to see in our world, in our families, in our workplaces. But there is also that aspect of prayer that is identifying with the cross and the suffering of Christ, who is the God who comes and identifies with us in our pain and our struggle. And so this is lament and it's intercession, it's petition, it's spiritual warfare, all happening as part of a global movement. It's a wonderful thing.
Right, I hope you found that helpful. And it's good. I mean, it's good to be part of something bigger as well. And I guess we've all had very similar experiences with our prayer life. And we look back over however long or short we've been a Christian. And sometimes it's really hard and sometimes it's really difficult. And sometimes it can feel very lonely. But it's good to know that we are part of, he mentioned, in 2 billion people praying. And it's really powerful when we join together and pray, when we get together in ones and twos, when we gather together as church, and when we gather together as churches across nations, and when we gather as part of the body of Christ across the world. And hopefully that's given us a little bit more insight and inspiration into what we're actually a part of and what we're trying to do as part of the Kingdom Come that we're connecting with. So, good. Good morning, everybody. Everybody okay? Everybody's got that kind of relaxed feeling, which is great after worship, isn't it, to be in that place. So the last few weeks, we've been doing a series on values and talking about some of what we would consider as Ashwood to be our values. We've picked a few out that we've spent a bit more time talking about. The four or five that we've done are not the only values. There's a whole pile of things that we would consider our values. But we've talked about how we are a welcoming church. We've talked about how being relational is really important. We've talked about how being Jesus-centered is vital. And last week we looked at how we want to be a growing church. How many of you want to grow? Yeah, how many of you want to keep growing? I know that I do, and I know that certain parts of me, I try to stop growing, but in my spirit, I want to have a bigger temple, not a physical one. But we want to be a growing people. We want to keep growing and becoming more Christ-like and becoming more like him. This week, we are thinking about how we are mission-focused. We're a mission-focused church. So what is mission? Might conjure up all sorts of thoughts, but a couple of dictionary definitions. One says that mission is an important assignment given to a person or group of people. The person who springs to mind is James Bond. Anybody into the James Bond films? You know, and he's given a mission, and it's and off he goes, and it's all action-packed and excited. But that's a context of mission, having a very important task or assignment to do. The other definition that's in the dictionary is this: the vocation or calling of a religious organisation, especially a Christian one, to go out into the world and to spread its faith. And actually, both of those definitions, we believe, are right for us. That actually God has given us a very important assignment or task to do, and that task is about spreading the message of Jesus to the world around us. Our mission, we talk about a lot because it's important to us, is helping people find and follow Jesus. And we like to talk about that a lot because we like to remind ourselves that that's something that's so important for us, that's part of our purpose, is helping people come to faith, come to see the truth. So why are we? Why do we see being mission-focused as such an important value? Well, I'm just going to talk about a couple of things before we just reflect on some stuff in a bit. But first of all, Jesus was missional. Jesus was very missional. In John 3:16 and 17, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And when we go right back to Genesis, and when we go right back to how God created the world and how God created people, we can see so clearly that God created people to be in relationship with him. He desired to have relationship with us. And he desired and designed us to have that two-way relationship with him. But we know the story. We know how it got off to a bad start right in the first few chapters of the Bible. That sin got in and changed everything. And it changed that relationship that we should have had with God. And it caused a separation. So when Jesus came, he came with a purpose. He came with a very specific task. And that was to bring us back to him. Jesus came on a rescue mission. He came to rescue us and to restore us to the relationship that we should have with him. While he was around, in Mark 2, he says this: "On hearing this, Jesus said to them, 'It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come, but sinners.'" Jesus came to bring us back. Jesus came to rescue us. I love that we were singing earlier about the grave and being called out of the grave. Isn't that just such a helpful song to conjure up some imagery of the state that we were in, the place that God wanted us to be in, and that action of being taken out of the grave? And you know, I was thinking about that while we were singing that being missional, being part of being involved in mission, actually, you know, God uses us to rescue people. God speaks to people through us. And actually, I thought, you know, it would be so exciting to be right behind Jesus when he's shouting and calling people out of the grave in that kind of image. And just to be going, yeah, come on, you know, come out. And just being part of what Jesus is doing. So Jesus was missional. And we want to be more and more like Jesus all the time, don't we? We want to follow his example. But secondly, we are also commanded to be missional. Matthew 28, right at the end, we know it as the Great Commission. The last things that Jesus was sharing and imparting to the disciples before he left earth was this. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And there's something great about that passage, isn't there? Because Jesus is giving a very clear and a very powerful commandment that we are to go, that we are to go and make disciples, that we are to build the kingdom on earth. You know, we're talking about thy kingdom come. Actually, it's important to know that when we pray, thy kingdom come, the way that God answers that prayer is to use us to build his kingdom. So when we pray, we need to expect that God is going to do stuff through us in building his kingdom, in changing lives, and in changing the world around us. But the great thing is that we're not on our own. You know, the wonderful thing about what Jesus did on the cross and about how he rescued us is that we are in relationship with him. We are no longer separate from him. So it isn't like he said, right, well, I'm off again now. Here's the job to do. Let me know when you've done it. He said, no, look, I'm here. I'm here with you. I'm with you every step of the way. In Acts 1, he's just filling in the disciples, what they can expect when the Holy Spirit comes and gives them the power that they need to be effective for him. And in verse 8 he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. There is an expectation that the disciples would spread the word, that would spread the message, would spread the hope of what Jesus has done. Jesus didn't say, brilliant, you've got yourself sorted now, just sit back and just enjoy the ride and enjoy the relationship. He said, no, you've got a job to do. I'm entrusting you with something, and you need to be active, and you need to do it. And when we read through the book of Acts, and when we look through the whole of the New Testament, we see a church, a New Testament church, that are very focused, that are very mobilized in terms of spreading the message and in growing and in getting the truth out that Jesus died for them and is alive. And it's very powerful stuff. It's also very encouraging when we also read about all the problems that they have as well. And I take encouragement from that, because what it tells me is that I don't need to have made it. I don't need to be perfect. I don't need to be qualified because I've passed the course in order to be missional, in order to tell people about Jesus, because I'm a work in progress. I'll always be a work in progress this side of heaven. But Jesus still chooses to use the likes of imperfect me and you to do it. And we see that in the New Testament. And I take a lot of encouragement from that, because I know that God is a God of on-the-job training. And you know, when we get involved in mission and in missional activities and in stepping out and in doing stuff for Jesus, not only do we see growth in terms of more people coming into the kingdom of God, but we see growth in ourselves. Do you know, I grow more in my relationship with God and as a Christian when I step out. When I step out and I do something for him that is perhaps uncomfortable, perhaps I wouldn't normally choose to do, but I know that God's called me to do it. It's at those times and those points that I can see that I grow the most, because I've put myself in a place where I have to trust God, and because I've put myself in a place of obedience. And obedience is really important. You know, God desires obedient hearts. He desires us to be obedient to what he's commanded us to do. And when we put ourselves in that place, when we step out in obedience, what we find is that we allow God to soften and change our heart so that we have a real compassion and love for the world around us. So what does it look like being mission focused? What does that look like? Well, first of all, we need to recognize that it's actually God's mission and not ours. And that's really helpful because it takes the pressure off quite a bit, doesn't it? You know, God has given us everything that we need. Jesus has already said, look, I will be with you. My spirit will be with you. I will give you everything that you need to be equipped to do the task. But it's my task. It's not yours. And I take a huge grain of comfort in that as well. And it builds my faith in that too. Because I know that I'm not God. But I know the one who is. And I know that because he has commanded me to step out and to be involved in missional living, that I can grow and that whatever happens, so long as I'm obedient to him, then, you know, he's got my back. Secondly, if we are following a New Testament biblical pattern of being missional, going back to the Acts 1 verse where he says, where he talks about being witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth, that gives us a really helpful model of how our focus should be. The disciples were in Jerusalem. That was where they lived, that's where they gathered, that's where they were based. So Jesus is saying, look, first and foremost, you need to be missional where you are, where you live, where your immediate surrounding is. That's the starting point. So for us, that means in our families, in our workplaces, when we're going down the shops, when we're just living, God has called us to make a difference and make an impact on the communities around us. How do we do that? Thy kingdom come stuff is really good, isn't it? Because if we're focused on praying and praying for what's around us, then that puts us in a good place before God and the Holy Spirit, just to allow him to give us the boldness to speak out and to also give us that boldness to look for opportunities. You know, it could be that we're out shopping and talking to a cashier about something. And we've heard plenty of stories. It hasn't actually happened to me, but then I don't really like shopping very much, so I try not to do it. But for those of you who like shopping, you know, look for the opportunities. Look for a way just to encourage a cashier. I think, you know, there's plenty of opportunity for us just to bring a bit of joy and a bit of peace and a bit of something positive to the people around us, because there's so much negativity, isn't there? I don't know if you find driving. I'm increasingly enjoying driving around traffic less and less appealing, because people have become so aggressive and so unkind and so so they make it so unenjoyable. I did something the other week which I felt really silly about, but somebody had pulled in and I thought that they were pulling in to park up, so I overtook them and met a car coming the other way and realized that they had pulled in to let that car back. Well, let's just say that his sign language was quite clear that he was not very impressed with me. But what I did try and do was go, oh, sorry, silly me. Because most of the time when we're out and about, because the culture that we're in has become so sort of unpersonal, it's so easy to for people to kind of be unkind because they know there won't be too much comeback because they're quite, removed from it. But, you know, there's all sorts of ways that we can make a difference in the communities around us by just being a positive influence. And when we are a positive influence, then we put ourselves in a greater position to be able to speak into lives and to speak to people and for them to actually listen because we've made a positive connection. So Jesus is saying, look, start where you're at. That's really important. You know, I've placed you wherever I've placed you. You start with that. And then to the early disciples, he said, you know, then start moving out. Start going further afield. Judea, outside of Jerusalem. Samaria, a bit further beyond. And to the ends of the earth. And what Jesus is saying is that, you know, what I have come to do, the message that I've brought, the death that I died and rose again, it isn't just for a select few. It isn't just for a small geographical place. I want the whole world to know about me and what I have done for them because I want to be in relationship with my people, with my world. The New Testament is a really good, if you read it as a history book, it's really fascinating to see how in such a short space of time they managed to travel to such a wide area and to get the message of Jesus to the ends of the earth. So for us, you know, we need to start where we're at and we need to be focused on mission. We need to be aware that that is what God has called us to do. For other people, it will involve going further afield than just home and just to where we are. I know when I was growing up, the church that I was part of, my perception of what mission was all about was that somebody else did it because we had a board up that had people who were our missionaries. There was somebody in Peru. There was somebody in, I can't remember where they were, actually, it was quite a long time ago. But there were people sort of all, you know, in different parts of the world, and there was a map and there was string going to it and a little piece about them. And from time to time, they would come back home and tell us what they'd been up to. So my growing up perception of what mission was that somebody else did it and that it happened abroad. Well, that's a part of mission. But I've had to come to realize that actually mission starts at home. But there are people that God raises up and uses to spread his message further and further away from home. And it's dead exciting when God does that. If you talk to Neil and Lou, who spent time in Albania and have a connection overseas. We've got Sam over in Africa and other people that we know and that we support and that we connect with. And you know, that's so exciting, isn't it? That we can be part of something that is beyond where we are just here. That God uses us to impact the world. You know, when we start to get ourselves missionally focused, it pulls in all the other values as well. We were talking about growing last week. But if we want to grow in our relationship with God and in who we are in Him, being missional really helps us do that. You know, as a church, we start with what we've got around us. We get involved with the community around us, and some of these will just flash up behind. We've been talking about our strategy and our missional strategy for what we want to do and what we feel that God is calling us to do and to make a difference around us and around this area. And, you know, we get involved with things like Food Bank and Seesaw. We get involved with detached youth work, meeting young people out in the streets who we want to make a difference with. And we get involved further afield, like the stuff overseas. In fact, we're hoping to run a trip overseas, possibly next year, where we can get involved in actually doing something active that's beyond just this area. But I want to really encourage us this morning to step out into all that God wants us to do in serving him. I remember years ago when I was probably about 14 or 15, we used to go to Spring Harvest every year. And it was a really great time that, looking back over my growth as a young Christian, that was a time that God really inputted and impacted my life. And I was in a meeting one evening, and there was somebody talking about this kind of stuff and saying, do you know, God wants you to be willing to do and to go anywhere that he calls you to go to. And I kind of went, yeah, I get that. I get that God wants my heart. I get that God wants me to say, yes, I will do whatever you want me to do. I will go wherever you want me to go. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when God is speaking to you, it's very clear that he's speaking to you, but sometimes it's very uncomfortable and you kind of wish he wasn't. But I knew that God was wanting a response from me that evening that said, yes, whatever you want me to do, whatever you're calling me to do, whatever path you want me to take, I will do it. And they, at the end, they put a time of response up, and they were singing a song, Here I Am, Wholly Available to You. Do you remember that, some of you? As for me, I will serve the Lord. And I was looking at my friend, and he was there, going, yeah, giving it all this. And I thought, I can't sing that, because that's not really how I feel. So I slipped out the back and went for a walk outside, thinking, in all honesty, that's not the place that I want to be at. And I'd spent half an hour really wrestling with myself, actually, because I decided not to talk to God about it, because I knew what he was telling me already, and I was trying to get out of it. But I concluded that the way that I felt being out of relationship with God in those few moments, being in a place where I was actually being disobedient, being in a place where I was not really prepared to give God my all, actually meant that I was not making him Lord of my life. And you know, the thing that really worried me about saying yes to God was, in my 14-year-old thought process, I thought, do you know what? That must mean that God is going to send me to Outer Mongolia. Don't ask me why I thought that. I think it was the furthest away place that I thought of. They probably eat lots of spicy food, which God knows I don't like. And actually, I don't want to do it because that sounds miserable. That was my thought process. And I learned, just in that space of time, something very important and very quick. And that was, I would prefer to go to a faraway country and eat spicy food than be out of relationship with God. And so I slipped back into the meeting, and they were all wrapping up, and I grabbed one of the counsellors who was at the front, who was at the side, and I said, look, this is how it is. This is where I'm at. But I also learned something else really important, and that is that whatever God called me or would call me to do, that not only would he equip me to do it, but that he would give me the enjoyment to do it. Because actually, the most important thing is that if we are living in the purposes of God for us, then we are in the most content and happy place that we could possibly be. Even if that means that we've got to sacrifice quite a lot to get there. But I realise that whatever that I might have to sacrifice to say yes to God, it was going to be worth it, and it was going to be better. Now, just as we wrap up this morning, I just want us to reflect a little bit on where we're at with God, with what we're prepared to do for him. You know, there's lots of people we could talk to about being in a place where we've had to sacrifice, where God has called us to get out of our culture and go to different countries and do different things. God doesn't call all of us to do that. But I got a sense this morning that actually there might be one or two people here who God's giving you a nudge and saying, actually, are you really prepared to fully say yes to me this morning? Are you fully prepared to get your mind into this thing that we call mission-focused and to start being obedient to what I've called you to do? For some of us, it might just be that we've got to get our head around that and our spirit aligned to that so that we are mission-focused in our homes, in our streets, in our towns, on our shopping trips. For some people, it might be that God is actually calling you to do something different. Maybe he's been giving you a nudge for a while, but this morning he's saying, look, you know, it is time that you listen to what I'm telling you to do. As part of our season of praying, Thy Kingdom Come, let's get ourselves into a place where we're praying, Thy Kingdom Come, with a boldness and an expectation that God is going to do some powerful stuff in us and through us. And that when we pray things like that, it's because he's choosing to use us to bring his kingdom. Now, just as David ministers to us for a few moments, I want us just to reflect on what God is saying to us. And if we need to make any responses, first and foremost to him, let's do that. And if you need to talk some things through with somebody, or you need somebody to pray with you, then we've got a great prayer team who are just waiting to do that. And there'll be a chance at the end. So let's just take a few moments to reflect.
So, what do we value? We value mission-focused. Why do we value that? It's so important this morning, isn't it? I always think as I'm sat there, how do I respond to this? The reason, the why behind being mission focused, of course, is love. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. And the reason, our motivation for all that we do, of course, we recognize, and Dave's right, there is that sense we want to be obedient to God, don't we? That's our response. But it's not because we're robots. I love the fact that we sang earlier, I'm so much more than skin and bones. And aren't you grateful that when we come to know God, we recognize that he made us, we're his. And we are not just robots knocking about, just performing some kind of acts and responsibilities. We're actually able to participate in the mission of God. And this morning, as we think about what we value as church and as individuals, don't you just get that sense of God's heart and our heart as church, that God so loved the world that he sent his son. And we so love God and we so love his world that it means that we want to respond. It's not some obligation. It's not some contract. It's not, welcome to Ashwood Church. Here's a contract form you'll sign up to. It's because we love God and we love people. Why don't we stand together as we close this morning, our meeting. And I love the fact I can just see that even in those moments as we close, that individuals are taking the opportunity to respond to what God is saying. Of course, there is something very corporate as we hear God's word and as Dave reminds us of things and speaks to us as church, but there's also an individual and personal response that Dave has outlined as well. And let's be careful and clear to be able to respond to God. But I just love us in these moments, just close our eyes. Of course, it fits so well that, as Dave says, the thy kingdom come things, because our focus is not ourselves, it's beyond ourselves, isn't it? And as we talk about being mission focused, we align ourselves to God's mission. Of course, we get to play a part in the biggest love story of all of history and all of humankind. And we get to be involved in that. What a wonderful privilege that is. And I hope that that lands with you this morning. God, we're so grateful that we get to participate with you. Actually believe that when we talk about mission, it's not mission impossible. It's mission entirely possible, because you're the God who performs all kinds of miracles, and in you, all things are possible. And so this morning, what are we doing? We are choosing to align ourselves with your mission. It's not a new mission. It's something that you destined before all of time began, that we might be the people of God in your kingdom, but also call others into that relationship too. So this morning we ask that you would empower us as we head towards Pentecost, and we look forward to celebrating next weekend the birth of the church. God, we recognize that you're still in the business of pouring out your spirit today. And so God, as we pray thy kingdom come, we also pray would your Holy Spirit come and touch us, fill us, send us, cause us to be effective in witnessing to those around us who don't yet know you. God, we're so grateful for all that you've done for us. Help us, we pray, to be faithful and to be obedient to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.